it's not. Okay, let's go to Luke. Chapter 6. You know, the most blessed people, there are some things in life, principles, that people tap into at times, not necessarily because they know the Word of God, just because for whatever reason they stumble across it or they are raised a certain way and they don't even know what they're doing sometimes, and yet they get blessed by it. And one of those things is to be giving in your life. They've actually done research and tried this out, and the people that are the most blessed and the happiest are people that don't focus on themselves but focus on giving and helping and blessing other people. So we're going to look at that today. We're going to look at a life of giving. And we're going to start in Luke chapter 6, verse 38. And it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again." So, with the same measure, it will be measured back. So if you were to, in the case of the Bible times, go to the marketplace and you had a basket, they would fill up that basket and they would shake it so it would settle, and they would press it down, and then they would pour more until it ran over. They would shake it, they would press it down, and they would do that a couple times to make sure that that basket had absolutely the most that you could get. It's pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And God says, as you give, that's how it will be given back to you, by that same measure. So if you were to, you ever get a box of cereal and then you open it and it's halfway down, right? Yeah, chips, pretzels, you know, all those kind of things. Well, if you were in the Orient, they would, you know, fill it and shake it and fill it and shake it and fill it and shake it, so that it was absolutely full. We don't do that in our culture, but they weigh it a certain way. But God is trying to communicate to us that when we give, there's a principle that when we give, we get blessed back, and we get blessed more than what we give. Wow. Now, this does not just apply to money, although it does apply to money or finances, but it applies to everything in life. And when you have a need, you know, what's the best way to proceed in taking care of that need? Well, certainly we pray, but, you know, give in that category of life, and that will make a difference. God wants to bless our lives beyond what we can imagine. He wants to bless us more than we even want to be blessed. It's hard to believe, but true. And this is a promise in God's word here, and it's an assurance. Let's go to Proverbs. So one of the great laws in God's word is to give. You know, when we have a need, any need, what can we do? You know, are we more focused on our problem or on God's solution? Are we more focused on our lack or on God's supply? Are we more aware of what we do not have in our old man nature, or are we more aware of what we do have in our new nature? Are we more focused on our situations, or do we focus more on what God's word says? God says, give and it shall be given unto you. And what do we give? Well, we give what we need. You know, if you need prosperity, you give money. If you need time, give time. And that's a weird thing to say. You think you're all squeezed for time. But, you know, in the Old Testament, under the law, when they did the Sabbath day, they gave that whole day from sunrise, what we would call Friday evening, till sunrise Saturday evening. It was totally devoted to God. They weren't allowed to do anything. Where I grew up, there was an Orthodox. Is that the most Orthodox, right? They're the most strict. Yeah. But I mean, there was an Orthodox synagogue where I lived, and they would walk to to the temple or the synagogue because they weren't allowed to ride their cars. And they could only take so many steps because it was the Sabbath. And if you did more than those steps, it was working. And they had a little school there, too, across the street. And, you know, very strict. That whole day was devoted to God. And then every seventh year was supposed to be devoted to God. You know, and then they had the feast days and the feast, and some of them lasted 7 days. And those were to be totally given to God. You know? And we think that we're squeezed for time. We have busy lives. But, you know, most of our busyness is not busyness like in Bible times. Most of our busyness is things we choose to do, things we want to do. You know, you have to work. And that's, or you have to take care of a house, or you have to raise kids. But you don't have to beat your laundry on a rock. You don't have to grind your flour and make it. You don't have to plant, and you don't have to butcher your animals and prepare the meat. Things like that. We have a lot of time. And it's amazing. If you want to see how much time you really have, just keep track of how you spend your time every day. And you'll be amazed at how much time you waste on silly stuff. So if you need time, give time to God. If you need understanding, give understanding to somebody else. If you need compassion, give compassion. If you need love, well, love. Give love. I mean, if you give and you quit looking at yourself, you'll see great things happen. If you need healing, how about praying for somebody else that needs healing? You know, really focus on their healing. If you need friendship, make friends. Be friends to people. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. The word trust in the Old Testament means to believe. And to believe means to act, to rely on, have confidence, and act upon. And it says here to trust in the Lord, which is God, with all thine heart. What does that mean? With all your inner being, with all your innermost being. Trust God. Believe God with all your heart. And lean not to thine own understanding. You know, your own understanding is, I don't have any time to give to God. Or I don't have any time to give in prayer. Or I don't have any time to make friends. Or I don't have any time to pray for somebody else. I got too many things happening to me. You see, what? That's not listening to God. That's not leaning. That's leaning to your own understanding, not to God's. See? God says give. He'll bless you back, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So if you have an hour to give, you'll get time back. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In all thy ways, in everything, in every aspect of life. Do you take God to work with you? You should. You know, sometimes we have a tendency to leave him home, you know, unless we have a crisis. And then we call him up quick in our minds. But a lot of times we just leave him home. It says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him, in everything that you're doing, in every aspect of life, we are to acknowledge God, and he directs our paths. What's the best way to go in our lives and everything that we do?
Put God first.
Yeah, put God first. So we lean not to our own understanding. It's not our way, it's his way that is the most important way. Let's go to Proverbs 23. Okay, chapter 23, verse 26. Chapter 23, verse 26. It says, my son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. Wow. Well, what does God want? Does he want your sacrifices? Does he want your ritualistic, ceremonial, you know, going through the motions type thing? Or does he really want your heart? He wants your heart. He wants you to give him your whole heart. And he wants us to observe his ways. God's ways. You know, what are God's ways? God is a God of love. God is a God of deliverance. Let's go to Psalm 4. Psalm 4. It says in verse 5 of Psalm 4, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. Now, you know, we don't really understand sacrifices that great today, maybe, or some of you don't. And, you know, if we tried to sacrifice, the animal rights people would be after us. But when you sacrifice in some way or another, what do?
You're giving something up,
right. And in the case of the Old Testament, when they gave up, they were to give something of great value. They were to give the very best animals, for instance, and they were to sacrifice it. And or if they were didn't have animals, they would make cakes and oil and give it as a sacrifice, different things like that. But it was a giving, wasn't it? And it says, and then put your trust in the Lord. You know, we give to God in different ways. And if we give to God, we trust that he will take care of us. He will bless us. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than the time that their corn and their wine increased. If you read a different version, it's you know, we're glad and we don't look at unbelievers, and even though they may have more material things at times, that's not what counts. That's what it's talking about. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. You know, when we give our hearts and our lives to God, when we trust in God, we can sleep at night. We have peace in our hearts. We dwell safely because God watches over us. He takes care of us. What a great God. Okay, let's go to John, Gospel of John. Now, so it said before that we were to give our heart to God. It said we were to let our eyes observe his ways. What are God's ways? Well, God is a great giver, isn't he? God can outgive us all. And he does outgive us all in every way imaginable. In John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. John 3:16. Everybody knows it. You probably don't even need to go there. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave because he did what? He loved. He loved. You know, and that's a great example. He loved and gave his son, and what did he get back? Lots of people, lots of sons and daughters, didn't he? Lots more sons, which he didn't have previously, did he? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What a great thing. God gives because of his great love, and he is the greatest giver of all. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. God gave us his word, didn't he? He gave us his word so that we could know him, so that we could understand him, so that we could know his promises, so that we could believe him, so we could avail ourselves of all that he makes available. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57, it says, but thanks be to God, verse 57, at the end of the chapter, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is in the context of the resurrection and that his son's coming back and that we have conquered death. But he has given us, and he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So God gave us, did we earn the victory? No. No. Did we buy it? No. He gave it to us. He gave us. And when he gave us that victory, how great a victory was it?
Totally complete.
It was a great victory. He totally defeated all his enemies when he was victorious, when he had got the victory through the accomplishments of Jesus Christ. And he gave us that victory. God's a giving God. Let's go to chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 4, it says, I thank my God always. This is Paul writing to the Corinthians. And he says, I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. So here it says that grace was given to us. God gave us grace. It means he gave us undeserved love and favor. Again, not because we did anything to earn it, because grace by definition cannot be earned. It's undeserved favor. We didn't earn it. We didn't buy it. We didn't work for it. We didn't do anything. God let his favor shine upon us. He gave us grace. He gave it. It was a freebie. Wow, what a cool thing. Let's go to Second Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. What a great God. We observe his ways. His ways are giving. His ways are loving. Isn't that nice? Verse 21. Now he which established us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. The word earnest there is the token or the down payment or the guarantee. He has given us the earnest. He has given us his Spirit, which is what we have to know all that we have and all that he's promised us and all that he's given us. You know, we know that we have eternal life because we have his Spirit. We know that we're going to heaven because we have his Spirit. We know that we're going to get a new body because we have his Spirit. We know that we're going to heaven because we have his Spirit. We know all kinds of stuff because we have his Spirit. It's that earnest, that token. And it's just a little bit of what we're going to get because we're going to get a whole new body. Yippee. And that's going to be great. Okay, let's go to 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 16. You know, if a farmer, you know, he takes in his crops, takes in, say, he plants corn, and he eats and sells all the corn. He doesn't save any for seed. What will he have for next year? Nothing, unless he saves some money and goes out and buys more seed. But if he saves seed and then replants it, what does he get? More corn. The more seed he plants, the more corn he gets, right? And the more seeds he gets. And it just keeps increasing and increasing. If you had some cows and you just butchered them and ate them, then you'd have to go maybe spend money and buy more cows. But if you let them breed and, you know, let them produce, you get more cows, don't you? Cool way to think that, and as we give, we get more. Chapter 2, verse 16. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. You know, in each of these cases, it mentions love, or we know it has to do with God's love. We talked about His grace, His love. He gave us His Son, and through His Son, we got everlasting life because He loved us. Here it says, now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us, hath given us everlasting consolation or everlasting comfort and good hope through grace. See, the more you learn about this stuff, the greater it is, the more He has given us. So comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work. When you know that you have God's everlasting comfort and His good hope, and it's just a gift that's given to you, then you know that you have comfort in your hearts. You know, and you move ahead with doing for God. Let's go to 1 Timothy, page over or so. Chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 5. For there is one God, just one, true God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. You know, Jesus Christ gave Himself as a ransom. He redeemed us. He paid the price for us. Did we earn it? No. He gave it to us. He gave it to us because He was a good son. He was the best son. He was an obedient son. And like His Father who loved and gave, Jesus Christ also loved and gave. So if we're to be good sons and good daughters, we are to love and we are to give. Pretty simple. Let's go to 2 Timothy. So if you have a need in whatever area of life, one of the great solutions that God gives us is to give in that area of life. How about that? And if you don't have a need, you can give just for the pure joy of it, because God says to give. And you'll see great things happen. And maybe it'll take care of things you didn't even know you needed taken care of, because He will truly take care of us. 2 Timothy, and does take care of us. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. That's a great thing, isn't it? But He has given us the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Again, He gave it, didn't He? He gave it to us. See, God is a giver. It says we are to observe His ways. Well, what are His ways? Giving. Giving. You know, and it's not always easy to give. It's not always something that comes naturally. You know, one of the things most parents try to teach their children is sharing, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Isn't that a tough thing to teach kids sometimes? To share. Kids just don't naturally like to share. They like to have everything for themselves. You know, and that's just human nature for some reason. We have a tendency to be selfish at times. We have a tendency to just think of only ourselves instead of thinking in a bigger way, in a better way, which is to look to help and bless and give to others. And that's one of the great keys to being blessed in life, being happy in life. You know, people that have just the worst problems and the worst difficulties and the worst addictions, they're always looking inward. They're always, you know, it's always about them. It's always about them. To have the best marriage, what's the best way you can have a marriage? Yeah. When both people are giving to bless the other. That's, you know, that's the best way to have a marriage, is when both people are giving to each other, blessing each other, helping each other. It's not me, 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 me all the time. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. It's what he's given us. He just gave it to us. Did you ask for it? Did you even think of it? You know, he gave us righteousness. Did anybody, when you got born again, did anybody think, wow, I want to be righteous? I certainly didn't. I just wanted some answers. Did anybody think they wanted to be sanctified, holy? I didn't. I never thought of that. Or justified, or anything. Any of those great things that God has done for us. I never thought of any of them. God thought of them and he gave them to us. Because he knew we needed it. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 9. I can't remember in Corinthians somewhere it says, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means I myself should be, when I preach the gospel, I myself should be a castaway.
I don't remember. 9:27.
Yeah? Okay, you don't have to go there. I forgot what verse it was. Yeah, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. You know, that really is talking about when you keep under your body and bring it into subjection, that means you discipline your life. And sometimes people shudder at discipline. And yet, discipline is one of the greatest things you can ever learn. And that doesn't mean external imposed discipline, but rather a learned discipline of your own life, so that you can do God's word. In anything that you become proficient at, anything you become good at, you have to learn a discipline, right? You have to discipline yourself to practice. You have to discipline yourself to do the principles. You know, dancers have to discipline their bodies, don't they? Painters have to discipline themselves. Musicians, they do the scales, right? And you practice certain things to become better. You have to do a discipline. Athletes discipline themselves. Scientists and people that do brain work have to discipline themselves to certain principles and do things. Well, just generally in life, we have to discipline ourselves. You know, you don't realize it maybe, but if you know, just brushing your teeth every morning is a discipline, isn't it? It's something that you learned. It becomes a habit. Well, if we keep under our bodies and bring it into subjection, meaning we have disciplined our minds and our lives to do God's word, to think God's word, to live God's word, to do those principles. So giving, if it's natural or not natural in your life, it's something that you discipline yourself to. So that when you've preached to others, you know, you say, you know, you tell somebody, you meet somebody, you say, you got to trust God. And then you don't, right? Eventually that becomes obvious. Now, obviously we're not all perfect. We all make mistakes. We all trip. We all don't believe all the time. But, you know, you keep working at it. You keep trying to discipline yourself. So that when you speak the word to others, when you live your life in front of others, you're not a castaway, meaning you're not a buffoon. You're not a fool. You're not silly in their sight. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. This I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly. It's, you know, the farmer, if he sows just a little bit of seed, he's only going to get a little bit of crops. If he sows a lot, if he plants a lot, he's going to get a lot. Just obvious, right? And that's life. As we sow, so shall we reap. If we sow contention, we're going to get contention. If we sow bitterness, we're going to get bitterness. If we sow love, we're going to get love. If we sow friendship, we're going to get friendship. If we sow whatever we need, we're going to receive it in return. So whatever you need, that's what you need to sow. And then we reap. So, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. If you want to be bountiful in life, then sow bountifully in whatever area you need to sow. But certainly with God's word and with love. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or a necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You know, I got to say, the more you give and the more you train your life to do it, it's easier and easier to be cheerful. It just is, because you see that God loves you, you see that he keeps his word, and you see that it works. And so as you give with a cheerful heart, not out of necessity or, you know, through clenched teeth, but you just give because you love God. And when you give with a cheerful heart, God blesses you back. And as you purpose in your heart, and as you do it and you see the results in your life, the more you want to give. And you purpose more in your heart, because it's just a great way to live, to be giving. And then it says in verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you. And that grace is whatever you need, what you're sowing, what you're planting. This is in the context of abundant sharing, but it applies to everything in life. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You may abound to every good work. You may abound to, what's a good work? Doing for God, right? Walking with God and doing what he would have you to do is a good work. And to actually do a good work is you have to give. Did Jesus Christ give? All the time, right? So much so that it's amazing he had any time to do anything. It says at the end of John, if everything was recorded that Jesus Christ did, there wouldn't be enough room to hold all the books that would be written. That's just like amazing. Let's go to Ephesians. We're going to finish up in Ephesians. Okay, chapter 5. Well, chapter 4, verse 28. It says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may give to him that needeth. You know, what's one of the reasons that we work and have?
So we have an opportunity to give.
Yeah, so we can give. You know, and it says here, let him that stole steal no more, and you think, I don't steal. Right? You don't steal. But, you know, in the Old Testament, if you look in Malachi, God confronted people and he said, you've stolen from me. And they said, where have we stolen? Well, they didn't give to God. So they were, if you don't give to God, from God's point of view, it's stealing. That's kind of weird. It's an eye-opener. So we have so that we can give, so that we can bless. Chapter 5. Verse 1, be therefore followers of God as dear children. The word followers is the word imitators, right? Well, if you're going to imitate God, what do you need to do?
Give
with love. You need to love and give, because that's what God does. It says we're to be like God. Jesus Christ was the greatest imitator of God. He loved, he gave. He loved so much, he gave his only life. Or it wasn't his only life. He got a new life, didn't he? He got a better life, didn't he? You know what? You think about Jesus Christ. He gave his life. He hung on the cross. He endured incredible pain. What did he get? He got a new body, and he's seated at the right hand of God. Not bad. Be their followers, imitators of God as dear children. God gives. We read different places where it said that God gave. He gave his son. He gave grace. He gave us a sound mind with love and power. He gave us comfort. He gives us peace. gives us all those things. And then it says, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. You know, he gave his life, and it was a sweet-smelling savor. You know, and that refers to the Old Testament sacrifices. When they did it correctly, you know, that smoke that would go up in the air, you know, it's like being at Kobe's and you smell him smoking those things that he does. Smells great. You know, or your neighbor's grilling some steaks. Smells good. Well, when they made the sacrifices that, and they did it correctly and it was right with God, it says that that sacrifice would be a sweet-smelling savor. The aroma of it was pleasing to God. And when we walk in love and we give like Christ, being imitators of God, it's a sweet-smelling savor to God. It pleases God. It blesses him. See, when we give, it blesses God. And when we do it with a cheerful heart, he wants to bless us back abundantly. So this is just one of the great principles in God's word. It is you can't get around it with God. And, you know, if you're having problems in life or you have a need, you know, you just got to lock into giving. That's you'll be blessed. And as it becomes more and more a part of your life, it just blesses you more and more. So, God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your love and your grace. And we thank you for those great opportunities to give and that we can see the greatness of this in our lives. And as we do it and try it out, that you will bless us abundantly and we can be excited about it and we can see great things happening. So we thank you for this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.